Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome to Teller Tabernacle. Come on, can we just start by giving God a hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. Come on, we can clap better than that. He's been better than good to us this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says when two or three are gathered in his name, there he shall be. Hallelujah. Has anybody come just to magnify his name? Anybody come just to worship him, just to tell him thank you for the things that he's already done? Thank you for the things that he's about to do. Anyone come just to praise the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't know where I would be without God on my side, without God in my life. So I can't help but raise my hands and say thank you. I can't help but raise my hands and say, God, I exalt you. God, I adore you. God, I lift your name on high. God, I magnify you. God, I love you. God, I come forth to you. God, I bow down to you. God, I give you all glory and honor. God, you are amazing in everything that you do. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I love you. Hallelujah. I can't help but say those things. I can't help but raise my voice to him. I can't help but give God glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In spite of everything I've gone through, everything that I've done in life, hallelujah, the Lord has stayed by my side. The Lord has navigated every way I take. Every footstep I go, the Lord has made that way for me. So I tell God, thank you. I raise my hands and tell God, I'm appreciated. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Anybody share that testimony? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It may not be a lot of us right now, but the Bible said, I'll say it again, when two or three are gathered in his name, and I know there's more than three of us here, so therefore I know God is here. And wherever God is, there's healing. Wherever God is, there's miracles and blessings. Wherever God is, there's grace and mercy. And there's healing for you, deliverance for you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, I'll give you joy that the world may never understand it. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever experienced the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. But the joy of the Lord is when something, everything is going wrong in your life, but you can't do anything but lift up your hand and say, God, I thank you. God, I still praise you. Hallelujah. I don't know what my job is going to look like next year, but God, I'll still lift up my hands and say, thank you. I don't know who's going to pay this bill. I don't know who's going to pay this debt, but God, I still give you glory. Hallelujah. God, the doctor told me the cancer was terminal, but I still lift my hands up and say, thank you. I still lift my hands and say, God, I thank you and I appreciate you. I adore you. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's joy that can't be understood, because the world and the devil is trying to understand, why is this person praising God in spite of everything going wrong in their life? Hallelujah. But joy is down in my soul. Joy runs throughout me, because no matter what I go through, I know who's in heaven. I know who's in the power in his hand. I know who's holding everything for me. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for we know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So no matter what I go through, all I had to do was keep my mind on Jesus, keep love within my heart, and everything will work out. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'll keep joy on my side. I'll keep joy in the bottom of my heart. I'll keep joy when I raise my hands. Hallelujah. 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 Young folks say, don't let them know your next move. My next move will always be joy. My next move will always be praise. My next move will always be hallelujah. In spite of everything, God, I lift my hands and say, hallelujah, Jesus. For only you know the things that I battle day in and day out, God. So I lift my hands and say, thank you, God. Because even though I'm battling those things, God, I know you're right next to me battling it with me, God. And when I get tired and I can't battle anymore, God, I know you're still battling it for me, God. Hallelujah. You said you're going to send an intercessor just for us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And he shall fight for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, God. God is so good. Hallelujah. God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Teller family and to all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Hallelujah. Holly, can we just give a hand clap for Pastor? Holly, I feel like we don't really acknowledge our pastor anymore. But Pastor is such an amazing resource to all of us. Please turn with me to Isaiah 61 and 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 and 1. When you have it, say amen. If you need me to wait a minute, just say wait a minute. Scripture says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Amen. Amen. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." You guys know what the good news is? Amen. Amen. The good news is the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That he stepped down off his throne and suffered and was beaten and battered and took on everything that life has. Hallelujah. I love that because that tells me no matter what I go through, God knows exactly what I'm going through. Because he came down just to witness it. He came down just to go through it for himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm grateful to serve a God who knows exactly what I'm going through. Hallelujah. Because that means he knows exactly how to bring me out of it in the name of Jesus. And he knows exactly how to bring me through it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lovely song and it just says, "He made a way." And I don't have the best voice right now. Hallelujah. I got into an accident 2 weeks ago, and they got me on some different meds now. But I'm going to try and say this because it really was God that made a way. Hallelujah. In my life, in your life, whether you want to admit it or acknowledge it, it's so beautiful how he still makes a way. Even when you leave or you think you're leaving him, he's still with you and continues to make a way. Hallelujah. And I just thank him for that so much. I thank him for having us so much. Because even when people walk out, even when people leave you alone, he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll stay with you and stand by your side." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you know it, just sing it with me. You made a way when my back was against the wall, and it looked as if it was over. You made a way. And we're standing here. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Hallelujah. Has he made a way for you? Hallelujah. Has he made a way for you to come here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing. You made a way. Sing, Tyler. You made a way when my back was against the wall, and it looked as if it was over. You made a way. And we're standing here. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I thank you for making a way. Let's just do it one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, saying, "You made a way." You made a way when our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over. You made a way. And we're standing here only because, I love this next part, as you move my mountains, and you caused walls to fall, and with your power, you perform miracles, and there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you, come on, say, you move mountains. You move mountains. Has he ever moved a mountain in your life? Hallelujah. Has he ever made a wall fall down? Hallelujah. All power belongs to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. And there's nothing impossible to him. Nothing too hard. And we're standing here. And we're standing here. Come on, say, you move mountains? You move mountains. Come on, you cause walls to fall. Hallelujah, Jesus. And with your power, perform miracles. And there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here. And we're standing here only because. Come on, just say, and we're standing here. And we're standing. Come on, I dare you to really think about it. I dare you to really think about what made you get here. And we're standing. Hallelujah. I know I'm only standing because of the God who saved me. Hallelujah. And we're standing here only because you made. And we're standing. And we're standing. Come on, make it personal. Make it personal. Tell them. Tell them thank you. And we're standing. Tell them thank you. God, I thank you for being there. I thank you for grace and mercy. Hallelujah. I thank you for guiding every way I take, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're standing here. And we're standing here only because you. Come on, say, just say, you move mountains? Mountains. You cause walls to fall. And with your power, you perform miracles. And there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you may say you move mountains and you cause walls to fall. And with your power, you perform miracles. And there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you make, come on, you move mountains. Come on, say, you move mountains, say it. You move mountains, you move mountains, you move mountains. If your mountain is cancer, he'll move it. If your mountain is depression, he'll move it. If your mountain is anxiety, he'll move it. I've seen him move the impossible. I've seen him move every mountain. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've watched him move sickness. I've watched him move paralyzation. Hallelujah. He'll move that mountain right in front of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. You move mountains. You move mountains. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, say, you move mountains. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall. You cause walls to fall. And we're standing. Only because you made, and we're standing, and we're standing here. Only because you made, and we're standing here. Only because you made a way. Oh, when our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And I'm standing here only because you made a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad that he made a way for you? Are you glad that he moved a mountain in your life? That he knocked a wall down for your favor? Hallelujah. Whether that wall was a job. Hallelujah. Whether that wall was education. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whether that wall was depression. Hallelujah. That had you so far bound in your life. Hallelujah. He said, I'll knock that wall down. I'll move that mountain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For he sent his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That whoever believes on him. Hallelujah. Shall not perish. Hallelujah. But have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to walk in that life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Please stay standing as our pastor comes up. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we ought to be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the 14th chapter, the Gospel of St. Mark. You said, Pastor, we've been there for quite a long time. That's because there are 65 verses. I think, is it? Something like that. 72, look at that, 72 verses in Mark 14. So we might be there another month trying to get through all of it. Amen. Hey, we're just going to look at a couple of verses, 3-9. Then we're going to add to the witness out of the 7th chapter, the book of Acts. Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 3-9. And then we're going to add to the witness from the 7th chapter, the book of Acts, verses 54 and 55. Amen? You got Mark 14 and 3, Acts 7, 54. Amen? And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you that wherever this gospel is preached in all of the world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Amen. Let's jump over to Acts 7, 54. It's the great sermon preached by Stephen. Verse 54 and 55, it says, and when they heard these things, they heard Stephen's sermon, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Amen. This morning, I want to talk from the subject, real worship. Real worship. And I use that word real because just about any and everything today is passed off as worship. You can do just about anything. Oh, yeah, that's worship. You saying, oh, yeah, that's worship. So I want to try to clarify, if I can, and set us with a clear understanding of what real worship is. Amen? Is that a fair use of our time this morning? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for your word because your word giveth light. It's by that light that we are able to walk the path of salvation. We thank you because your word gives us wisdom by which we can live and govern ourselves in a manner that pleases you. So we count it not a small thing that we have made our way to the house of God, that we have found ourselves a seat in the place of God, that we might hear from the word of God, so that we might be able to worship you in the beauty of holiness. So satisfy the longing in our heart. Satisfy the deep thing in us that nothing else in this world can satisfy, save Christ himself. This is our prayer and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. Jesus says this in the fourth chapter of John. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a very important statement. That's a very powerful statement. I think one of the most immediate things it does, it arrests our attention and it causes us to realize that we are not like God. Okay? Jesus said, God is a spirit. That immediately draws a line of demarcation. Why? Guess why? Because none of us, what? We're not a spirit. What? We're flesh and bone. You can touch, feel. You know, but not God. God is a spirit. He is invisible. Are you with me? The first thing you got to understand, if you're going to work, you got to understand God's invisible. Therefore, you cannot worship him in any manner that you would worship anything that is tangible. Are you with me? Just walk it down the line. You can't worship him the way you worship your favorite football team. Why? He's the spirit. You can't worship him the way you worship your favorite singer. Why? God is a spirit. Right? Do you realize that? If you're with me this Sunday, say I'm with you. Because we have grown to accustomed to belittling God to thinking he's like us. I wish I had a real church. That's why you can't have real worship. Because you want to worship somebody or something like you. You are out of bounds already. You haven't even started and you're already off the mark. The first thing you have to do is come to the realization that God is a spirit. He's not like you.
So anything that would bless you, I'm telling you now, will not bless God. That's why you call anything worship. Why? Because it blesses you. You say, well, if I like it, then God must. I'm telling you, he's not like you. What turns you on doesn't turn God on.
Whatever. Here it is. Let's get down the road. It's going to be one of those types of Sundays.
So what is this thing, real? What is worship? So I pulled this out of my biblical dictionary. It says worship is the reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. And this word worship comes from the old English word worship. Worth, W-O-R-T-H. Now, Josh, I sent my slides in this morning. John didn't get them up there, but that's worth-ship, which denotes a worthiness of the one receiving the special honor or devotion. So worship is what we do or say to cause the one being worshiped to feel, to express our understanding of their worthiness. Get this, not ours. Again, the problem with so much stuff today in terms of worship, get this, our worship of God is often self-centered. We call it worship to God, but Rob, it's really about worship of me. But let's just call it worship to God. Let's pretend like I'm praising God, but what I really want is for you to praise me. For how I sing, for how I preach. For how I do this, for how I do that. But I'm going to label it worship for God. Are you with me? All right, so let's ask the real question then. Real worship. So here's the question. So how do we worship God? Is that a fair question? Here's an even better question. See if you can handle this one. How does God tell us to worship him? Right? That was a good, and now we asked a better question. Because we may say, we still may get it wrong because we're not God. So we may think, oh, this God would like, no. So the real question is, how does God tell us? We've been married 27 years. And early on in our relationship, for all the special days, I would buy the gifts. Get her this, get her that, get her that. And that was the early years. And so we got in the middle years, she would begin to tell me what she wanted for the special days. Hey. Then a link would come. She wouldn't even, she just send a link. Click this link and put your credit card information in. Right? I'm not complaining about what you got me last year. I'm just saying this year I'm sending you a link. Are you with me? Now this is where we are now. Now she says, just give me the credit card. When I come home, you can see what you got me for my birthday. Jermaine is more like God than you realize. I'm not going to leave it up to you, right, to keep messing it up. So how does God tell us to worship him? One of the first things we learned, in Sunday school, is the Ten Commandments. If you got your Bible, go there. Go to Exodus 20. He tells us. Just lays it out. Here it is. You ain't got to guess. You ain't got to want. Here it is, Exodus. Are you there, Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments? Here it is, verse, and God spoke all of these words. These aren't Moses' words. These aren't angels' words. These aren't the prophets. God said, God spoke these words. This is what he said. You shall have no other gods before me. Look at somebody say real worship. When you worship God, you got the first thing you have to do is make God your priority. If God is not your priority, it negates anything you say or do for him or about him. Are you with me? Okay, we'll see. Have no other gods, but you got to make God a priority. Here it is. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Any likeness of anything in heaven or in earth or in the water under the earth, right? Get that. You should not bow down nor, this is what, underline this if you got your own Bible. For the Lord your God am a jealous God. Make him a priority. And this is this idol worship. Don't use anything in the earth and worship it as God. Right? Because when you do that, you're saying what I have created is greater than the one who created it. So if you make a carved image out of the bark of, use a tree and you make an idol or something and you worship that, you're saying the tree is greater than the God who created the tree. Right? So God said, don't use anything in your world, which I created, to be a God in my place. You got to understand, I created everything in your world. Everything in your earth, everything in your heavens. Don't start worshiping the stars. Don't start worshiping the sun. I created that stuff for you. How dare you say that's greater than me? And the reason he's telling you, he says, because I am a jealous God. Raise your hand if you ever dated a jealous person. Raise your hand if you're still dating. Whatever. Let me get down the road. That'll take the sermon way left. We don't know where we'll end up after that. Here it is. Look. Make him a priority. Don't use anything in this world in place of him, because he created everything. Here you go. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For he's telling you, he's giving you real worship. All you got to do is follow. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Everybody look up at me. What is coming out of the mouths of Christians today is downright damnable. Not out of the mouths of sinners, but out of the mouths of believers, those that say they love the Lord, that worship the Lord, those that say they pray to God. Yet we curse more. Yet we demean more. Are you with me? This is real worship. Real worship is demonstrated when you make up your mind not to take the name of the Lord God in vain. So no more goddamns. And I'm saying that in the church, because that's who's using it, church folk. No more, I swear to God. You better shut your mouth. When I was young, my mother would hear me curse. She'd say, say it again. And I am going to wash your mouth with soap. She never did it, but she taught me how to worship and respect God's name. For which this day and age has none. No respect for God's name. Say what you want, when you want, to whoever you want. But then we want to come into church and sing the songs of Zion. I'm telling you right now, he receives no worship from you. That doesn't bless God. Not after Saturday night, you done cussed everybody out. Your prayer ain't gonna heal nobody. Not after you've been goddamning all week long. Listen to me, young people. You got a greater challenge, but you've got to find a way to turn off that garbage coming through your phones. Because the enemy is leading you. He's luring you. Putting bait in front of you. And just laying more. And so many young people. And I why did you say that? Well, I heard it on. My boys get down the road because they got earphones and iPods. But when they don't have earphones and iPods, whose phone is it? Mine. I'd be like, you cannot be listening to what I just heard. There's no way. And we laugh at, oh no, it's just this. Oh no, it's just that. And we don't understand that the devil is luring them. Literally enticing them to use the name of God in vain and offer false worship. This is real worship. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, and all of that junk is getting. And I warn them because they have time. But what do I say to all of you who curse more than them, who give them the false example because my parents did it? I can do it too. We all know our children, they learn more from what we do than what we say. This is real worship. When you consecrate your heart to say, I'm going to honor God's name. I'm just not going to say it any kind of way, any kind of place, under any kind of, no. He's not like me. Therefore, his name should be treated different. Therefore, I should talk differently. Look at somebody and say, this is real worship. This is not worship. I don't know what that is. You could be having a stroke. You could be doing the jigger. I don't know what it is. That's not real worship. And the devil has gassed us into thinking that it is. Real worship is when you set your heart, I won't use his name in vain. regardless of what's coming over my phone, regardless of what the other kids are saying, regardless of what the other people are doing, I will not use God's name in vain. That's the beginning of real worship. Told the people in the deacon's meeting last Sunday, I said, set your heart to it. That's the beginning of real worship. You got to set your heart to love the Lord. Make your mind up. I'm going to honor God. That's where real worship begins. Are you getting anything out of this? Here it is. Here it is. I'm finished. Because the Ten Commandments, the first part of them deal with our relationship with God. The latter half deals with our relationship with each other. And those first ones, that's real worship. He's trying to show you how to relate to him. Are you with me? Here's the last one. Where's the last one? Lord, help me. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Your son, your daughter, the stranger in your house. No, 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and all that. And on the seventh he rested. This is in conjunction with making him a priority. You make him a priority daily. And then on the Lord's day, get this, you present yourself in the house of good. You don't come to church to see me. You don't come to church to see Shanita. You are, again, this is real worship. Your mind's got to be different. On Sunday, I come to church to present myself unto the Lord Most High. Here I'm accountable, right? Isn't that what you do every Monday morning? You what? You present yourself at work. I'm here. I'm on time. Ready for duty. That's what we do when we come to church. The Bible said, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When was the last time you presented yourself to God? At his place of work. The place where his name is. I'm telling you, if you had this mindset, watch this. Not only would you go to church, you would go differently. Gone are the days of thinking I can come to church any kind of way. I'm trying to tell you, he's not like you. You and I were accepted. You and I would be happy, but not God. You got to present yourself to God. He said, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice unto God has to be what? Holy. Without blemish. Pure. No marks. No bruises. That's why you make him a priority during the week. So that on the Lord's day, I'm presentable. I got enough women to help me put that over. Isn't that what the women say? Well, no, I haven't come in. I'm not presentable. I just don't show up any kind of way. Got to get myself together. When was the last time you made yourself presentable to God? Or do you come any kind of way? Present yourself in any fashion. Watch this. And because you think God is like you, you mistakenly assume God will accept it. That's enough of that. So here he is, the alabaster box. So what is all of that? That's real worship. So why go? All of that was my introduction. And now I can finally preach the sermon. But I had to lay the groundwork. But without that, you would have thought real worship is what you thought. had to let you know that's not the worship God told you to give him. That worship is what you have decided God is worthy of. Good Lord, I wish I had a real church.
Here it is.
Let me get out of it because you can't take much more. Here it is. So what does the woman with the alabaster flask have to do with worship? She shares with us some additional insights into real worship. Here it is, verse 3. We're going to move. Being in Bethany, house of Simon the leper, sat at the table. And a woman came having an alabaster flask containing very costly oil of spikenard. She broke it. She broke the flask and poured it on his head. This is what I had on my notes. Write this down because this is important. Real worship will cost you something. And if I could be truthful about it, John Mitchell, not only will it cost you something, dare I say real worship will cost you everything. This is how you know that what you give God is not real worship. Because if we really look at it, many of us don't give God anything, and if we do give something, it's next to nothing. But this woman shows us clearly that real worship will cost you everything. This flask, this oil represented this woman's life savings. All of her life. What little she could pull away, what little she could set aside to one day be a blessing to her family. But she got called into real worship and she gave everything she had saved. She gave it over to Jesus. Real worship will cost you everything. I always told you this, when it comes to giving, God never looks at how much you give. You heard me say it once, you heard me say it 1,000 times. God only looks at how much you have left after you have given. That's the only thing that impresses God. That's the whole sermon of the widow's mite. What she gave wasn't a lot, but in God's eyes, he said, well, she's given more than all of these. Why? Because she gave everything. Those two mites, that was all she had. And God received her worship. Are you with me? Good. I got more to say on that, but I'm going to skip it. Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. Look at somebody and say it's going to cost you something. That's why a lot of people don't worship God the way he wants to be worshiped. Why? Because it costs you something. Here it is. I'm going on. The next one. Real worship, not only will it cost you everything, but real worship often comes with Christian criticism. I got the witness right here. You don't have to believe me. But there were some, Mark said they were in indignant. They sat at the table and said, are you kidding me? has this woman lost her mind? This is in your Bible. They were indignant among themselves and says, why was this fragrant oil wasted? They said that because they viewed worship differently than what she did. To them, it was a waste to give that oil to Jesus. Here it is. For it might have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. Now read what it says. And they criticized her sharply. That means they got at old girl. Why? Because she gave him real worship. Stop looking for friends at church. I just told you, you come to church to present yourself to God. Not the girl talk. Not the body talk. Do that somewhere else. Make up your mind to give him real worship. Make up your mind that when I come this Sunday, I'm going to present myself unto God, holy, hopefully acceptable, which is my reasonable duty. I'm not doing God a favor. How many of you believe you're doing God a favor because you came? Oh my goodness, God ought to be happy. I didn't feel like getting up. I didn't feel like getting dressed. God better bless me this week. I just did him a solid. And I put something in the offering. The Lord owes me. Here it is. Real worship often comes with Christian criticism. You got to search out the stories. It's all the gospel. John tells us that the lead instigator was Judas, the betrayer. The lead thief in the church, yet was the same one who raised his voice. I told you I'm a helpful pastor. You want to find the real backsliders, the real betrayers? Look at the ones who talk the most. Look at the ones who talk the loudest. Always got something to say. Always got an issue with somebody else. Anytime you see that, that is a sign they are trying to cover up their own shortcomings. Judas is literally engaged in a plot to betray Jesus and is the lead instigator against this woman. Real worship often comes with Christian criticism. Don't worry about the world, what the world says. Worry about those that are of your own house. They're going to criticize you. Judas was the lead instigator. Matthew tells us that all of the other 11 agreed with him. These were the disciples who were criticizing. And she wasn't just any woman. She was Mary. She was Lazarus. They knew her. Ate at her house. Benefited from her kindness. Yet they mocked her worship. You get friends somewhere else. Don't look for friends in the church because you won't find them. Right? Real Christians, they're going to criticize your worship. And here it is. This is why they're going to do it. Real worship is Christian criticism. Here's the next one. Real worship is often confusing. Are you with me? Real worship is often good. That's why I say it right now. Everything can pass off as worship. Worship, worship. The woman said, "You worship in. We worship in the mountains. You worship in the city. Anything. It's worship." No. She said, "They that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Real worship is confusing. Here it is. I'll give you the witness, and I'll quit. I can tell you can't take any more, so I'll stop. Here it is. Judas against her. The 11 criticizing her. And I love this. Verse 6. This is the whole turning point in the sermon. But Jesus said. The Bible said, learn to hold your peace. Let God fight your battle. Let God determine what real worship is. You don't have to justify it to anybody. That's where you go wrong. That's when you get into disputes because you feel a need to justify yourself against Christian criticism. The whole story, the woman never did, she never opened her mouth. All she did was what? She just kept worshiping. That's all she did. Here, let me give you this because this is important. Real worship, often confusing. Now get this. For both the participant and the spectator. This is important. This is important. Real worship is confusing. Why is real worship confusing? Because God is what? God is a spirit. He's not like us. So even when you think you got it, guess what? You don't. Why? He's not like you. Just the mere fact that you says, yep, this will work for God, proves you're wrong. That what you're saying is this is what works for you. Doesn't work for God. God's a spirit. May that worshipman must worship spirit and in truth. Here it is. Real confused. Here it is. This is important. It said, leave her alone. Look at somebody and say, leave her alone. Why trouble ye the woman? She has done a good work for me. Let God praise you. Don't try to praise yourself. God, the Bible said, Jesus said, she's done a good work for me. Here it is. Here it is. The poor you have always. Whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. That's significant. Because the disciples did not believe Jesus was going to be crucified. Though he had told them on multiple occasions, I am going up to Jerusalem. The chief priests and the elders will lay hold to me and crucify me. But on the third day, I will. They didn't believe him. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Real worship is confusing. For the spectator, because we don't understand the will of God. And so therefore we cannot understand the move of God. And that's why it's best to just what? Hold your peace. Let God show it. Let God bring it. Let God bring it up. These guys, instead of waiting and seeing how Jesus was going to react to it, they did what? They jumped in and opened their mouths and proved what? They didn't know what real worship was. Now, I want to say this too, to the participant. To the real worshiper. Get this. The real worshiper often does not know themselves. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit. That means the Spirit prompts your worship. Not the musician, not the praise, the Spirit. This woman comes to Simon's house. So the first thing you got to ask, why would she bring the alabaster box in the first place? This is her retirement savings. At home under lock. Why would you bring your life savings to church? Answer the question. You wouldn't. Save what? Save the Spirit. Prompts you. And get this. This is how you know you walk by faith. You do it. And you don't know why. But something is urging me. It's almost as if I don't do it. It'll be worse. That's what they call the unction of the Holy Ghost. He compasses you. He overshadows you and calls you to do things that in your natural state you don't know why. Real worship is often confusing, both for the participant, the one offering the worship, as well as for the one looking on. The men and women of the Old Testament preached and prophesied of a coming Messiah they never understood. They didn't see it. They just said it because the Holy Spirit made them say it. They didn't know when He would come. They didn't know how He would come. They didn't know what He would do. They just knew He was coming. That's how real worship is born in the heart of the believer. When we were young, Dr. Teller used to always tell, she said, you got to pray until you start praying. I know in the world. I already thought she was crazy. This just sealed the deal. Pray until you start praying. That simply means you labor until the Holy Ghost kicks in. And then you just let Him have His way. You just in labor. You just going through it. But when the Holy broke, that's when you're going to give birth. That's when you're going to push something into the next realm of the Spirit. So it's often confusing. You, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Why do I got to do it? Why her? You know it's not real worship because in real worship, you don't get to pick. God does. I spent all last month telling you what? God picks your betrayer, not you. God does that. Just like God picks your betrayer, God picks who you are going to bless. And it won't be your girlfriend, won't be your mother, won't be the boys you grew up with. It's going to be the very one that hates you the most. God going to see she's right there. That's who you're going to bless. That's who you're going to pour your oil on. You don't get to pull it on your cousin's head. You don't get to bless your auntie and them. The one you were fighting in the street with. That's who your oil is for. That's what you call real worship. It's confusing. Are you serious? You know what she said to me? You know what he did to our family? And yet you're telling me I gotta go to them with my oil that cost me my life? I said, yep, that's the one. And so what? It's confusing. Must be losing weight. My pants keep falling down. Or maybe I'm not losing weight. real worship. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's confusing both for you and for all of us. It won't make sense, Cassie. Why them of all people? God chooses, not you. Here it is. I'm finished. You can't take any more and I can't give any more. Here it is. Real worship, confusing. Here it is. I end with this. But here it is. Now, 9. What she has done, my goodness. She said she has done what she could. That's what blesses God, is when you do what you can do. Everybody's trying to make it bigger and better and more lavish and more spread. And God's not into any of that. God just wants you to do what you can. Use what he's already given you to use. Use the oil. The prophet told the woman, he said, look, she said, all I got is enough bread for me. He said, yep, use that. He said, just let me eat first. He didn't ask her to go out and get more. He said, no. That's all you got? Good. He said, bake that. He said, just let me eat first. When I'm finished eating, you and your son eat. And the Bible said, it never ran out. They just kept on eating. Why? She did what she could. That was all she had. And God what? Blessed because what? It was real worship. Are you with me? Here it is. Verse 9, he said, assuredly, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. When you give God real worship, God will always celebrate your worship. And that's what we see in the preaching of Stephen. The Bible said while he was preaching, they were stoning him. Literally, they weren't figuratively killing him like they were this woman with their mouth. They were literally killing him. Right? I told you it'll cost you everything. You don't believe me? Ask Stephen. Cost him everything. I told you it comes with Christian criticism. Guess who were the ones criticizing him? He was a Jew, and the Jewish leaders were the ones killing him. Christian criticism. Stephen didn't even know what he was saying or why he was. But the Bible said while he preached, he looked up in the heaven. He said, oh my God. He saw the heavens open to him. And this is what I want you to get. He saw the glory of God, which is a miracle in and of itself. No one can see it and yet live. But Stephen, he saw the glory of God. And next to the glory of God, the Bible said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And all throughout our scriptures, we always see the Son of God seated at the right hand of God. Why? Our intercessor, our high priest, ever, he sits at the, but when Stephen gave real worship, the Bible said Jesus had to stand up. He said, oh my God, Jesus said, that's the real thing right there. That right there, if you want to see it, that's real worship. So much so that Jesus stood up and gave this deacon a standing ovation. Because he gave God real worship. Shall we all stand? I didn't mean to scare you, but if I did, good. I didn't mean to make you feel bad, but if I did, good. Why? Because God is not a plaything. He's the real thing. And he deserves our very best. You don't have to guess what he wants. Don't have to guess when he wants it. The only way we can know anything about God is if he reveals himself to us. That's the only way. You know what? He's not like us. Nothing you can read, nothing you can point to. Save he reveal him. And God has revealed himself to us in two ways. You know what they are? First is his word. And the second is in the incarnation of his son. Told Andrew, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the self-revelation of God to you. And today, through his word, he has revealed to us the real worship he desires. Not what we want to give or what we feel like giving, but what God demands. And I just want to encourage you, if you do it, God himself will celebrate you. God will stand up for you. God will praise you for blessing him, for pouring your oil on his head. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Because the entrance of your word giveth light. Thank you for eyes to see. Thank you for ears to hear. Thank you for a heart to obey. Thank you for helping us realize you are not like us. And in order to worship you, we must do so in spirit and in truth. Everybody everywhere, just grab somebody's hand. Let's pray for one another. Link up all over the church. Don't leave anybody untouched. Come on, link up, link up, link up. Come on, we got 30 seconds. Pray your best prayer for them. Come on, for them. Pray that God bless them. Pray that God bless their house. Pray that God bless their finances. Pray that God bring their dreams to pass. Come on, come on, Taylor, pray. Pray, pray. This is part of real worship. Use your oil on somebody else. Stop saving it up for yourself. Stop saving it for your children. Stop saving it for your... Pour your oil on somebody else. Come on, pray, tell her. Pray for them, their ministry, their gifts, their anointing. Pray for it. Lord, I want you to bless them. I want you to bless. Use my oil. Hallelujah, God. Pour it on their head. From the crown of the head to the sole of their... Use my oil. Lord, help me give you real worship. Help me give you real worship. Yes, Lord. I'm going to break the box. I know it's going to cost me everything. But I trust you, Lord. I believe you today, God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how much I give out. You will return unto me. Come on, give them real worship. Use the final 30 seconds to give him real worship, real glory, real praise. That's what I want. I want the Lord to bless you. That's what I want to see. I want to see you rise up. That's what I want. I want to see God anoint you. Help me, help me, help me. Real worship. That's what I want in my church. Real worship. Real praise. Real deliverance. A real move of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to use my oil to anoint somebody else. I'm going to use what God has given me to bless somebody else. That's why I came to church, to get my instructions. That's why I came to present myself. Lord, show me. Point them out. Identify them to me. I don't understand it. I don't halfway want to do it. But if you says it's real worship, I'll give you all that I have. It'll cost me everything to bless someone else. But I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing to walk with Jesus. Yes, I am. God bless you, Taylor. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. It's my prayer.
Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. 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 Now we're going to move for our time of giving and announcements. Hallelujah. Followed by our benediction. Hallelujah. How many know that giving is a form of worship? Hallelujah. Pastor just preached on worship and preached on us worshiping God. Hallelujah. To do our offering and our announcements, God bless her. Speaking to Courtney Scott.
Good morning. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of many ways, including text to give, online giving, through our website, Venmo, and also by our U.S. Postal mail. To give by text, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. Again, that's 73256. And you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You may also give through Venmo at taylor-tabernacle6309. And for those of us that are gathered in the sanctuary, you will find two offering baskets to my right, next to the side door where you can place your tithes and offerings. You may also place offering in there for our preacher for today, which is our pastor. If you want to give to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo, his Cash App is $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, and his Venmo is at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministries. And now let's go to our announcements. Every first Sunday, we will be gathered here at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by our morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study is 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets as well. And we look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. And please remember Pastor's YLE challenge, which is to bring somebody. The farmer's market has been changed to September 21st at starting at 12 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. We are looking for vendors. If you need a vendor application, please reach out to our sister Cassandra McCoy. And now we will have a special announcement from our Deacon Todd. I think, what regarding the last? All right.
I'm joking. I know. I did know. Good morning, everybody. As you know, even though I was out of town for a week or so there, you do know that the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund, that we've been taking application for that. Amen. So for those of you who are online or in here that don't know, Celeste Williams was a pillar of this church. For over 50 years, she was in charge of educating our young folks. Amen? Amen. We talk about worship and service. What, 50 years of teaching young folks. Amen? Amen. And so every year we have the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund, which is available for our young folks from kindergarten through senior year of high school. Amen. Once you go into college, you know, y'all got to earn stuff a different way. But for those of you who are in the church, and with regard to the applications, as has been discussed before, we are paying attention to your attendance here in church as well as in school. Amen. We're paying attention to your participation here, right? Are you involved? Are you involved in terms of the church's ministries? Amen? Amen. And we're also looking at grades. Amen? So there is an application. I think that we've had them posted. If you still need one, let me know, because the applications are due soon. And we also have the essay topic, which I've covered a couple times, but it's basically an essay where you will discuss what you would do if God approached you and asked you to help him build his kingdom. What would you do? You just heard about worship. What would you do? Amen. And young folks, anybody know what Sister Peach's advice was? Be creative. Don't give us a standard, well, you know, if this was to happen to me, I think it'd be nice to help out and say glory every day. Okay. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's not creative. What if you're like, well, you know, I'm going to go to the candy factory and go get some Skittles that say God bless on Skittles. Then I'm going to bring my school in and have my classmates here, and we're going to have a Skittles party, and I get to tell them why it says God bless on it. Now, is that the right thing to do? I don't know, but it's creative because it's something different than what most people would do. All right? So be creative. Whatever is in your mind, because what comes from your mind, and pray on it. Because if you're creative and you pray for the Spirit to reveal something to you, you will come up with ideas that you will actually be able to use with people your age. Amen? That's why we want you to be creative. Amen? Amen. So we have to get the applications in. You can reach out to me because I'm here today. I know Deaconess Kim had to leave. You can also give Deaconess Helena. But if there are any questions, please come see me before you leave today, so we make sure you have everything together. Amen. And then I don't know if it's on here, but I know I've been announcing it before. Baptism is the 18th, I believe, right? And that's the next Sunday. Is that right? I'm always off on my dates. If you want to be baptized, you need to see me today. All right? Because you cannot be baptized without first us going through a course on it. And the course is one meeting. But there's some things that you have to know and read and understand before you get baptized, because it's not just ceremonial. Okay? So see me today if you are interested in being baptized next Sunday. Amen? Anything else I need to add to it? Okay. With that, I will get out of the way. Bring back Brother Khalil.
And one more announcement. Probably I've been saying this every Sunday. I'm going to keep saying it until we get there. Day of Joy is coming up on August 24th, which is going to be a fun day of praise and worship. We're having a lot of people come out. I just want to reinforce that it starts at noon, promptly at noon. So once 12 o'clock hits, the first person will be singing. Amen. Amen. So try to get here early. Try to be here, you know, and see it around 11:45, so we can start on time and we can end within a respectable time, and we can enjoy the cookout and things like that. Amen. 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 There's a lot of papers up here, church. I'm trying to figure out which one I'm supposed to go to next. All right. So please stand. We're going to invite our pastor back out to do benediction. That's no problem. Amen. Come on. Let's bow our heads and lift our arms. Let's pray our way out of here and pray our way through the week. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, hallelujah, Jesus. We come with hearts that are grateful, God. Hallelujah. Grateful for everything you've done, God. Grateful for everything you're getting ready to do, God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for every no that you have given us, God. We thank you for every yes that you have given us, God. Hallelujah. We thank you for every door you've opened and for every door you've closed, God. We thank you for moving mountains and making ways, God. We thank you for the word from Pastor that taught us how to worship you, God, in spirit and in truth, God. Hallelujah. And now we will go throughout this week practicing real worship, God, because you deserve all the glory and honor, God. I ask that you keep us, God, that every face I see here today, God, I shall see next week alive and well, God, in the name of Jesus. And all these, and through all these things that we ask and say thank you for, God, we do it in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.